This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Come dance with the west wind and touch on the mountain tops. Sail o'er the canyons and up to the stars. And reach for the heavens and hope for the future. And all that we can be, not what we are.
Wonderful words there from the chorus of a song called The Eagle and the Hawk, written and sung by John Denver in the early 70s, which says, "Come dance with the west wind and touch on the mountain tops. Sail o'er the canyons and up to the stars and reach for the heavens and hope for the future and all that we can be, not what we are. All that we can be, not what we are." The New Testament speaks volumes about being transformed when we encounter Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 we read, "Therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." Today God still calls us to those mountaintops to experience his transforming love in every aspect of our lives. There may well be those today who've never felt that sense of being made new, that their faith has never really taken off. I suppose it's possible to feel that sense of just going through the motions, a duty, and that spiritual fulfillment is for others, not for them. A man once found an eagle's egg and put it in the nest of a barnyard hen. The little eaglet hatched with the brood of chicks and grew up with them. All his life, the eagle did what the barnyard chicks did, thinking he was a barnyard chicken. He scratched the earth for worms and insects. He clucked and cackled, and he would thrash his wings and fly a few feet into the air. Years passed, and the eagle grew very old. One day he saw a magnificent bird above him in the cloudless sky. It glided in graceful majesty among the powerful wind currents, with scarcely a beat on his strong golden wings. The old eagle looked up in awe. "Who's that?" he asked. "That's the eagle, the king of the birds," said his neighbour. "He belongs to the sky. We belong to the earth. We're chickens." So, sadly, the eagle lived and died a chicken, for that's what he thought he was. Lovely story there by a Jesuit priest called Anthony de Mello. Perhaps we've never really taken off in faith because we've never made the effort to climb the mountain or even take those few steps towards it. Perhaps we didn't even realise there was a mountain we could climb or that there was real mileage in it. Or we've never had a sense of how very splendid the view could be at the summit. So many things in this world can keep us earthbound. Here's a lively song by Rend Collective called All That I Am.
Take every treasure, take this life. Everything's on the altar now. No holding back, no holding out. In view of your matchless sacrifice, take every treasure, take this life. Selfish ambition and my pride, giving up, I'm letting die. In these empty hands I have it all, the pure joy of knowing you, my Lord. All that I am for all that you are, my Lord. All that I have for all that you are. You are. It's only in surrender that I'm free. It's only in surrender that I'm truly free. It's my Lord, all that I have, all that you are. You're the pearl beyond price, greater than life. All that I am for all that you are.
Journeying with Jesus up a mountain is what today's gospel reading is all about. Jesus longs to take us to greater heights and reveal his true glory to all those who are willing to go with him. Then we'll see him and know him as he's transfigured before our eyes. I'm reading from Luke chapter 9, verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. Let's listen to Candy Pearson singing, "He Leadeth Me."
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes it seems our deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom, by water still over troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me by
so it says in today's reading, Jesus led them up a high mountain. Experts disagree over whether this mountain was Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor, but whichever one it was a place of solitude. There on that mountain, these disciples, Peter, James and John, saw for themselves a metamorphosis, a change in Jesus' appearance. His garments became radiant. The word Mark uses is stilbin, like the glistening gleam of gold or precious metal. Jesus' face shone rather like the glare of sunlight. He was transfigured and the disciples were overcome with awe. They were told not to speak of it until after Jesus had been raised from the dead. They may not have quite understood at the time, but they never forgot their unique mountaintop experience and would speak of it years later. It clearly had a profound effect upon them. John, as a gospel writer, would come to say in chapter 1, verse 14, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only." Peter, later, in his second letter, chapter 1, would come to write these words, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." They saw the glory of Jesus. Let's have a hymn entitled Glorious. It's all about the experience of a wonderful symphony lighting our hearts. Surely this was the case for those disciples that day on the mountain. It's sung by David Archuleta.
There are times when you might feel aimless and can't see the places where you belong. But you will find that there is a purpose. It's been there within you all along. And when you're near it, you can almost hear it. It's like a symphony. Just keep listening, and pretty soon you'll start to figure out your part. Everyone plays a piece in their own melodies, and each one of us, oh, it's glorious. And you will know how to let it ring out as you discover who you are. Others around you will start to wake up to the sounds that are in their hearts. It's so amazing what we're all creating. It's like a symphony. Just keep listening, and pretty soon you'll start to figure out your part. Everyone plays a piece in their own melodies, and each one of us, oh, is glorious. Oh, and as you feel the notes build, oh, it's like a symphony. Just keep listening, and pretty soon you'll start to figure out your part. Everyone plays a piece in their own melodies, and each one of us, oh, is glorious.
Also in this story, we witness something of the revelation of who Jesus really was and is. Many have claimed throughout history that Jesus was merely a good man, or a notable teacher, or a worker of good deeds. Some claim today in a very familiar way of having him as a friend and brother. But here in today's reading, we see how the disciples were given a picture preview of the one who would come to be known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Scripture tells us that Jesus' divine nature had been veiled or curtained in human form, but here at the top of the mountain, Peter, James and John saw through and beyond the veil to a glimpse of his glory. But not only that, Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the prophet also appeared by Jesus' side and talked with him. When the disciples offered to mark the very spot with permanent shelters, God's voice sounded from heaven, just as it did at his baptism, repeating once more, "This is my son, listen to him." I wonder if we are listening out for the voice of Jesus today, or are we too planning how to build shelters of security for ourselves? Perhaps we're living in the times when we need to listen afresh. Here's "These Are the Days of Elijah," sung by Hillsong.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And oh, these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord."
Some days before, Jesus had been telling the disciples of his coming death, and he had told them that some of them would not taste death themselves until they had seen the kingdom come in glory. The glory they experienced on this mountain was but a foretaste, looking to a time when Jesus' disciples too would undergo a revolutionary transformation too, following Jesus' death and resurrection, when the Holy Spirit and his power came to them. But now the thought of erecting permanent shelters for worship were put to one side. It was time to descend the mountain and rejoin the real world. It's so tempting today too for people who go through exciting conversion experiences, often known as mountaintop experiences, to want to remain in the moment forever, just like these disciples did. But there's far too much to be accomplished way back down on the plain. Peter's idea almost got in the way of Jesus' plan for him and the others in the world. What was now important was for them to listen and obey, not just stand still in awe. God may well be calling us to be part of something bigger than ourselves, for there's a world out there in need of his love, his mercy, and his grace. Let's finish today with a hymn called The Touching Place, composed by John Bell. It's a hymn which reminds us to see Christ in everyone and to come alongside them in their need. But first, this prayer to finish by Cardinal Newman. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come into contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words but by my example, by the catching force of the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love my heart bears to you. This is Sheila Hummel saying goodbye this morning. This is all we have time for. And Andrew Ridgwick, my technician. Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Christ is the world in which we move. Christ's are the folk we're summoned to love. Christ is the voice which calls us to Christ is the one who meets us here.
Through the walls Christ shows his grace.
Feel for the wind.
feel for the parents who've lost their child. Feel for the women whom men have defiled. Feel for the
Christ makes with him.